Good morning out there on internet land, and we welcome you to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know, believe and walk this truth, that God has called us to three commands through His Son, and in them all the scriptures are wrapped up: love God, love others, and go. And that is exactly what we try to do every day of our lives. And it is a walk that shall never disappoint us, and we will find strength daily in Him for His purposes. Well, today we're continuing in our sermon series, and I need to warn you, I told Ryan at the beginning here, I told you all last week at our picnic that it was 5 pages of notes. Well, I came back and I started putting things together because, you know, I knew this was going to be a several-week series. But I didn't have any idea how long it was going to be because I added 4 more pages of notes. So yeah, we're going to be at this one for a little while. God, it's so amazing because I'm going over stuff, and I did my first point and I was getting ready to do the second point for today again. And he said, "Whoa, wait a minute, you're not done." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I did that point." He said, "No, I want you to look at this." And I was like, "Oh, okay, so it's going to be more than 3 weeks?" He says, "Does it matter?" I said, "Not at all, Dad, not at all." So again, it went from 5, and I added 4 more. And those 4 are just for today. So we're going to have fun with this today. I want to remind us of where we've been. What we looked at is the fact that we are called God's family. God calls us His family. And that leaves us to understand just how personal of a relationship that He wants us to have. Because the family is a tight-knit group of people. The family, we know everything about one another. Amen? And we know what our needs are. We know what someone likes, what they dislike. And you know, we try to train the children up. We need to remember we're not the dad or the mom. We're the children, amen, in the family. And we're having a hard time with that today in our world because the kids want to run the family. Yeah, no, we understand the child listens to the parent, does what the parent tells them to do. And when the parent says no, end of discussion, right? Not in this world. But then we also understood and came to find out that within a family, there are expectations. So too, God has expectations for each and every one of us. But the awesome thing is, God articulates His expectations. And He lets us know what His expectations are. And they're all here. Every expectation that God has for us is laid out. But we have to apply it to ourselves in order to understand it. I just spoke with one of our elders today, and it's so funny, the conversations that I have pre-sermon. And we were talking, you know, he's, "Well, you know, I'm still here, so I got to find my purpose." And I told him, and I tell all of you, your purpose is to be you, which is a Christian in this world. That's it. Everybody's like, "Yeah, but there's got to be this big thing." The big thing is you. Be you. Be Christian in this world. That's what God's appointed you for at this time. Okay, He didn't appoint you 50 years ago. Well, for some of us, we were because we've been here for 60. So yeah, we were here 50 years ago. But you understand what I'm saying, right? You are appointed here. God has an expectation for you here to be you, to be Christian in your progressive sanctification, where you are now to get to where you need to be. That is God's expectation for each and every one of us, to take this word out there, live it out, be the word of Christ in the world. Can I get an amen, church? And that is a truth that I really want us all to understand and know. And we also need to understand, and this is something the world hates, and this is one of the reasons why the world hates God, because there is discipline within the family of God. Can I get an amen, church? All right? The scripture says, "Train a child up in the way they shall go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it." What does it say about those teenage years? Doesn't say anything, because God knows we're rebellious. But in fact, it does. We have a whole parable that speaks about that, and it's called the parable of the prodigal son. How many of us have returned to the Father's house? Whew. Yeah. And that is an amen. And you know, I love this, and I'm going to name names today. I love Sister Marion because she never left Dad's house. Okay? I've had some times of conversation. She says, well, yeah, but my testimony is boring. No, your testimony is beautiful because you weren't this, you weren't, you know, that child that ran away. You stayed home. You did what was right. You were good, and you're still good, and you're an example to all of us. Praise Jesus. Can I get an amen? Because without people like you, none of us would have hope, because we can see the steadfast love of God. But those of us who've been away and come back, we get to show the grace of God receiving us back home. Can I get an amen? And we understand that the discipline that we went under and are yet going under in this world, because Hebrews tells us to endure all things, all hardship, as discipline. Amen? We're being trained up. That's our progressive sanctification. So today, I want us to understand that God's not done there. Because the family of God is so much more, and there's so much more that He wants us to know about Him. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews in chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 15. Because I want you to understand the next point that I want us to talk about is the fact that within a family, we have a support group. We have a support group within the family. Hebrews chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, I'm going to read through 15. From the first verse in the book of Hebrews in the third chapter, thus saith the word of the Lord. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, just as the Holy Scripture says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your forefathers tried me by testing me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation, and they always go astray in their heart. And they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand that God just spoke something there. I want you to remember Moses. Moses was out there, and when he came down off of Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, what did he find? He found a whole group of people just waiting for him, didn't he? No. He came down off the mount. He wasn't even at the foot of the mount. He was up, and Joshua met up with him, and they heard this loud noise coming from the camp, and Joshua says, "It's the sound of war." Now, that's from the movie, The Ten Commandments. But we know when they came off the mountain, what did they find? They found the people worshiping idols at the base. They had put together a golden calf because Moses had been gone for a period of time. And 40 days was all it took. And they had come away from what they had seen. They had just walked through the Red Sea. They had just seen God completely destroy the Egyptian army. And yet, what did they do? 40 days he was on that hill. They forgot what happened. We cannot forget. Moses didn't forget. Moses continued to love these people. In fact, God said he wanted to destroy them, didn't he? And Moses said, no, no, Father, don't do that. Don't do that. What do you think Jesus said on the cross of Calvary? I want you all to remember what Jesus said on the cross of Calvary. It's one of the seven words of the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to remember, Moses could have started the whole thing up again. God could have destroyed everybody, and God would have started it over with Moses. Isn't that what he told him? But Moses said no. Jesus told us that he could have called a legion of angels, and that legion of angels would have been able to wipe out all of creation. There'd have been no human beings left if he'd have done that. But Jesus went to the cross for us because he is our support group. He is that one who testifies even today, for the house is his. We are his house. And he is the Maker's son. He is the Maker. And as we come under him, we have the same honor as he. We have a support system. But we need to break that down to us. And I want you to look at what it says in verse 13, because this is the crux. This is the crux of it all when it comes to understanding that we have a support group. How does God pour out? How does God reach his church? How does God reach the world? He says to us, but encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You and I live in a world filled with sin. And as it comes at us and does its deed upon us, as other people's influences come upon us, it hardens us. How many of you are not children anymore? We are grown up, right? We've come through the school of hard knocks. God still calls us children. Why? Because to him, that's exactly what we are. He wants us to remain innocent in him. Don't let the things of this world discourage you. Because when it does, God can't touch your heart because your heart gets hard. Remember what happened to Pharaoh in Egypt. Pharaoh would relent. God would relent. And then Pharaoh's heart would get hard once again. Why? Because he had the witchcraft and the sorcerers talking in his ears. And he would harden his heart once again, and then God would have to do another plague upon the world. You and I need to understand this is exactly what is happening here. That's why he contrasts Moses and Christ. It's understanding that the things that were are the things that are yet to be, because there's nothing new under the sun. And all the plagues of this world are coming at us. How many different plagues do we have here today, running out right now? I'm talking spiritual plagues. And it's a truth that all of us deal with, and we get hardened in our hearts. Well, I'm just not going to say anything anymore. That's hardening of your heart. And we are to encourage one another all the day long, as it is called today. What does that mean? Because we have not reached the great and faithful day of the Lord yet. Because in that day, we're out of here. In fact, we'll be out of here before that day. The great and faithful day of the Lord is actually when he steps foot on Mount Zion. And when he does, it's over. But we're going to be raptured away. And we are to encourage one another with these words as long as it is today. You and I are the support group that God has put here with us, because God is in you talking to your brothers and sisters. God is in me right now, talking to you today, this very message, understanding that you don't need to be in my person. You can be on the internet and still receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? because God transcends all things. Yeah, but God didn't make the internet. God gave us the intellect to make the internet. God is more interconnected than any of us ever will realize, because he is in us, alive, and everything we do is connected to him. And that is the encouragement that I want you all to receive today. We need to be that encouragement one another. God wants his family to be sensitive. God wants us to understand that we are to reach out and touch the lives of people. Now, you all heard me today. We made the men's ministry got together, and they went to pastor's house, and they put up a fence around my backyard to fulfill the ordinance that's in my township for me to keep my bees. If I'd had to have done that myself, I'd have never gotten it done. How heavy were those panels, guys? They were pretty heavy. One person picking it. What's that, Bob? Except, yeah. Yeah, well, he picked up a half a panel by himself. That was cool. We need to understand. We need help. We need help to get through this life. And that's what the support group is all about. How many of us walk with our children through their stuff? Or do we just throw them out there and say, well, good luck? No. I can remember having trouble in school. And I'll tell you what, it was a horrible thing to be held in the wrath of Lillian Dubs. Because I can remember, and you know, I'm going to tell on my mama if she were here. She's in heaven. She's laughing. We went into school. A teacher was doing some dumb stuff. And it was funny because she said I never turned in an assignment. I had it in my folder, and it was graded. She flunked me because I never handed it in. I took it in. She tore it up and said that I faked it. I was like, what? Well, that evening, my mom came to school. My ultimate support group. How many of you know where I'm going? Mama walked in. She walked right over to the trash can. Some people just aren't smart. She walked right over to the trash can, pulled the paperwork out, and she looked at her and said, here's my son's handwriting. Let's see your handwriting. And she put it down there, and my mom says, I think he's going to pass this course. Yeah, there weren't no discussion. That's our dad in life. We're going to pass this course, people. I don't want to care what the world has to say against you. I don't care what the world wants to pull on you. We're going to pass this course because when dad shows up, everybody listens. Okay, he's far better than E.F. Hutton, okay? And man, I'm aging myself, aren't I? When we think about who God is and what he does, he is there, and he is going to encourage us, and we need to be sensitive about other people's needs. How many of us say something stupid at the wrong time? Yeah, we all do it. We all do it. But that means we need to take a little bit more care about our lips and what we say and or how we say it. Because we can say the same phrase two different ways and it has two different meanings. Isn't that the truth? So we really need to be careful how we say and what we say. And God wants us to be there one for another. In fact, he tells us, if any one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. For if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's in 1 Corinthians 12 and 26. Because we are considered one body. So if someone in our group has need and we're not taking care of it, what does that speak about us? Are we truly showing the Christian love and brotherhood that we should? I'm going to tattle on the guys. I love how God does this. He gives me real life illustrations. Somebody had written down a number wrong because some of us are dyslexic. Anybody else there? And all of a sudden, I had two guys arguing over a number that was written down. Well, it says, guys, what did Pastor say? We're here to love each other, not beat each other up. I said, we all got issues. Amen? We just work with it. We work with it. But it's funny because when you get testosterone involved in it, or estrogen, ladies. I got one woman over here right now. Just we know, don't we? Been there, done that. Don't want to go around that tree again. You know what I mean? The Israelites went around that mountain for 40 years. How many times we got to go around this thing? Let's stop. Let's start being. Let's start doing. Let's remember that if there's hurt over here, all of us over here are also hurting, because the Spirit cannot pour out to the fullness until this has been raised up. Can I get an amen? Because that's what He wants us doing, caring for one another. How many times is the phrase "one another" in the Scriptures? I don't know. I didn't count it. But that would be an excellent study. How many times does the Scripture speak of one another? And that's some of the things that we need to think about. We need to get together as a group, because there is no place for a lone Christian. That's one of the things that I hate, is when I talk to somebody and say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Where do you go to church?" "I don't go to church." Those people are a bunch of hypocrites. Well, you'll be in good company, because that word you just spoke is a hypocritical word. Because does not the Scripture say that we are to gather together, and you're not doing it, so therefore you're one of us? You see, I can rejoice in stupidity, because God will cure ignorance. Now, stupidity is a choice. But once you're made aware, now you have to make a choice. And that's where we need to be in the family of God, is are we going to make those right choices? Are we going to do what God wants us to do? And are we going to look at what He says? Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is some in the manner of, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see what? The day approaching. How many of us are seeing the day approaching? Woo! It's getting closer and closer and closer and closer. I mean, I could talk to you about some of the things that are going to be happening yet here this year. You do realize that it says in the Scriptures that there's going to come a point of time when, and I'm not speaking prophetically, I'm speaking, this is Rich Dubs talking to you, where it says in the Scriptures there's going to be a come of time when 10 kings will rise up, and they will have power for a little while, and then they will give their power to the one. And then He will proclaim a 7-year time of peace. Does anybody know what's happening August and September of this year? I told the men, because it's just so funny, because I told the men, next month, the BRICS nations are getting together. There's 5 on the thing right now. They're adding 5 more, 10 kings. And they're making a major announcement. I have a feeling they're going to disband from the American dollar, which I hope you all know what that means for us here in the United States. Okay? Because as soon as they abandon the American dollar, a lot of money's coming back home. So the money you have is going to be worth less. It's already worthless when you think about it. But then what's going to happen in September? Because here's these 10 kings, you know, I'm looking at and I'm saying, wow, that looks familiar. That looks familiar. But what about the 7 years of peace? Well, guess what happens in September? The World Economic Forum and the United Nations gets together, and they are proclaiming the 2030 agenda. And from 2023 to 2030, they are doing a peace for the future covenant around the world. I don't make this stuff up. It's coming, brothers and sisters. Am I saying here's the day? No, I'm not. I'm telling you, we're seeing the Scriptures align. When is the day? I don't know. But God does. Can I get an hallelujah? Because He is ready, and all we have to do is be willing in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen from the church? And as we look at this stuff, that's why we need to be encouragers one to another. I cannot stop preaching the gospel. Why? Because God has told me in my call, just like everyone that we read of in the Scriptures that had a call, God's call to me was, prepare my people for this they shall come into. And He showed me the end times. I have known since I have been called to be a pastor, and I got goosebumps a mile high, and my back, the hair on my back is standing up. I have known since my call, at the age of 18, and I understood it then because he showed it to me, what he was asking me to do. And I was fearful of it and ran away from him until I turned 32. And when he had stripped my life of everything that was me and laid it all bare and said, choose you today who you'll serve, I couldn't say no, because we're talking eternity here. And not just my eternity, but the eternity of every human being on the face of this planet. And he wants me to be a part of that. He wants you to be a part of that. He wants us to declare the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. We need to understand he's given us everything that's here to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. Yeah, but you don't understand. You know, the world beats me down and all this stuff's coming at me and I don't know if anybody's going to listen. I want you to understand something. You need to know who God says you are. And that's where we need to stand. Who do you believe? The one of this world, in this world, or the one who is outside this world, who created it, who created you, called your name from eternity past into eternity future, and that's your promise. Because when you receive the name of Jesus Christ, when you repent of your sins and you turn to him, he is the salvation of our souls. We are alive once again to God. So who does God say you are? How can I stand in that encouragement? Well, hence the other four pages of notes. On the screen, Pete's going to be putting some scriptures up there for y'all to look at. The first one I want us to understand is from the book of John. From the book of John, in the first verse, or first chapter, in the 12th verse, it says to us this: but as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. What does God say you are? You are his child. The next scripture I want you to look at is, again, Romans 8 and 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. God does not condemn you. He has saved you. Our next scripture. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also glorify with him. What does that say? You are going to suffer in this world. This world's going to come against you, but we are a child of God. We are an heir of holiness with Christ Jesus, and that's all because of him. Who does God say you are? Next one, Pete. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Get rid of the past in your life. I'm going to tell you right now, we just spoke of a dear brother this morning. And I'm telling you right now, 5 years straight, amen? 5 years straight. We've all been praying for Jason. You all know who I mean, who've been here with us for a long period of time. We have prayed for that brother for years, and we're still praying for another Jason too, aren't we? And we're waiting on that day of deliverance when it's complete, full, total, and whole. But we know that as we call out to the Lord, we are a new creature. The past is gone. Would you get rid of the past in your own life? Stop bringing it up. Bury that sucker and let it tear. Oh, I hate when people bring up the past. I hate when I do it myself. What a discouragement. God says, no, you are a new creature. Look for the future. See what I have in store for you. Know that there's good things to come. I don't care what the evil one whispers in your ear. It's a lie. Can I get an amen? In the next scripture, thank you, Brother Pete. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. You are God's righteousness. Do you understand what that means? There is nothing wrong with you. You are complete as you are because God sees you at the end. You and I got to work on it, and it's called what? Progressive sanctification. And you all know it. We are a work in progress because we are moving forward. Progress is always forward. We are not a work in retreat. Next scripture. Blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly place. You have every spiritual blessing that you need to accomplish everything God wants you to do. You lack nothing. How many of us have been told all our lives, well, you can't do that? Oh, you think you're able to do that? I am going to tell you right now, if God has it for you to do, the only thing stopping you is you. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. What do I mean by that? Does not the Holy Spirit reside in you? Who is He? He is God. And there is nothing He cannot do. But you need to believe it, work it, and move it. God is not going to do for you what you can do because He's in you. Do you understand those words? I pray you do. Because I'm going to tell you right now, He has things He wants you to accomplish, but you have to believe you can. And I'm telling you right now, you can accomplish far greater things than I ever will, because my calling is here, and this is where I'm going to be. But He has called you out there into the world, and that's where you live your lives. And that's where you need to be, the body of Christ, because He needs you. No, He wants you. That should say something far different, because He could not have chosen you, but He has chosen you. Do we understand how important choice is? We are the elect of God. Next scripture, Pete. It says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we may be holy and blameless before Him in love, He chose us. He said He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. We are adopted in. We have full sonship. We are there with Him at all times. He predestined. Oh, next one, Pete. For we are His workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Does that say that we might? No, it says that we will. And we need to understand that we are His workmanship. The things of your past do not hold to you. You are capable of new things into the future. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As we walk in Christ Jesus, God is our protector. He will guard us. These things will not come against us unless we let them stick. How do you know when spaghetti is done? When you throw it at the wall and it sticks, would you remember you're not spaghetti? You're God's people. And none of this stuff from the world sticks on you. Jesus has cleansed us. Can I get an amen? And we're like Teflon now. Nothing sticks except the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? So as those who have been chosen of God, what does it say? Holy and beloved. You are holy and beloved. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That is who we are to be. That is who we are to be. That is what God calls us, holy and beloved. From Deuteronomy, oh, I love this scripture. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above, and you will be underneath, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully. When we walk in the way of the Lord, we are the head and not the tail. The world wants us to think we're the tail. In fact, the world wants to think that we're the underneath. But guess what? When the Lord God is underneath of us, everything up is holy. And we need to understand and we need to know that we are the head. We have the ability to change the future, not only our future, but others. From Ephesians, even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us what? Alive. You are alive to God. He hears your voice. Remember, there are those He does not hear their voice. He knows nothing of them because He does not know their name, because they have not called upon the name of His Son. But you are alive to Him. He hears you. And that means He acts on your accord. You are alive to God. He is looking right in your face. And I pray that you continue to look in His. Next scripture. Since you were precious in my sight, you are what? Precious in my, you are precious in his sight. Do you understand what that means? The God of all creation looks upon you as his special treasure. You are his and he is yours. He has forsaken heaven for you. Jesus Christ came out of heaven. He laid aside his deity. He laid aside his glory. He laid aside his power. And he came as a man and died as a man for you, for me. You are precious in his sight. Why do you think he spoke what he spoke on the cross? Father, forgive them. Because if the Son had not spoken it, it wouldn't have happened. But he spoke it. And God has to honor his Son. And you are precious in his sight. Since you are honored, and I love you. What does God say? Do you know that was the first thing I ever heard God tell me? The first three words I ever heard from the Lord. I was getting ready to commit suicide. And he spoke three words to me. I love you. I had just prayed. I said, God, if you're real, you need to show me. Because I have nothing to live for. And the three words he chose were the three words I needed to hear from somebody. I love you. God speaks it to you. That's who you are. You are loved. And I am talking a love that knows no ends. A love that has no bounds. A love that has no conditions. He accepts you where you are, but I'll guarantee you, you ain't going to stay there. Because that's the love of God. Because he is perfecting us. Because we are precious in his sight and we are loved. And he will exchange many peoples in exchange for your life. In other words, all those who are going to hell, we need to understand that. They chose it. And when you and I look back at that point in time, we're going to see that they have no excuse because all we did, we were like them. How many of us were like them? Every one of us, because we were born into sin. And when we accept that reality, God says, you have no excuse because these people were all messed up. How many of you are messed up? I'll guarantee you. So when we get to heaven and they all say, well, they're hypocrites, God's going to show them what a real hypocrite looks like. Because he's the God of truth. Next scripture, Pete. 1 Peter. And coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. For this is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builder rejected has become the very cornerstone. You and I are building upon that living stone. We then become living stones. We are God's choice building. We are being built up into a holy priesthood. That's what God says you are. This world wants to tear you down and say you are of nothing. You are of no value. God says you're the very foundations which I'm building with. And if God builds the house, how splendid is the house? That's what it means to be part of the family. Next scripture, Pete. Psalm 139. Boy, if this doesn't speak into our world today, I don't know what does. For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. God knew us before we were born. God loved us so much that he put us together the way he wants us to be. His thumbprint is on each and every one of us. Do you understand that? And it's indelible. When people look on you, why do they despise you? Because you look like Christ. And they despised him. Our next scripture is our last two. There we go. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. And the next one is also like it, and it's from the book of Hebrews. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. God knew us beforehand, and He brought Christ to be our sacrifice. We are sanctified. We are consecrated. We are set apart. That's what that means. God says, you are no longer of the world. You are simply in the world. You are of a heavenly place. You and I need to understand this is God speaking to you and I in all these instances, and there are so much more. How many of you know what God calls you in His Word? You have other scriptures that you cling to. I want you to understand, I want you to know, I want you to know that when this world comes against you, or when you are feeling down, when it seems like everything is falling apart, God says, I am for you, not against you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always here, always present. He is our eternal Father, and He wants us to know Him and receive all of His goodness. Today, I want you to understand who God says you are. And we are part of His family, and we need to know that we have that wonderful, wonderful support group. But I'm telling you right now, one of the greatest supports we have is the fact of the Father saying these things to us. Can I get an amen, church? When we realize that, thank you, Brother Mitch. It's going to try and fly away again. When we realize that God is there, how can we be so down because of something that happens in this world that's going to be washed away? Well, actually, it's going to be burned away the next time. So don't let these things come at you. But we too need to be the support group that each and every one of us understands. We are the family of God. As Dad has said these things, I can remember, I'm going to give you one last illustration and then I'm going to wrap up. I can remember being a little boy and being told, I wish you weren't born. Now when that was spoken to me, I was 7. Do you think it affected me? Yeah, it affected me well into my adulthood. But my father says, I knew you in that secret place. I knit you together for this very purpose. I love you. We need to be that same voice, speaking one to another during this time. Because there's a lot of people out there right now. We just heard 1,300 people accepted scriptures at the fair. We are seeing a resurgence of spirituality in our world. Why? Because the evil is getting so pervasive you cannot get away from it. But we need to be the one to tell folks it's not just spirituality, it's a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And for all of you out there on the internet that are watching, I pray that you have that relationship with Jesus. And if you want to belong to a family, if you want to know those truths that we just saw, that God says who you are. I mean, I'll tell you right now, some of the worst things that can happen to a child is when a parent cuts you down. Because that lasts a long time. And then we become the abusers to our own children because we say those horrible things too. But may we hear from a new parent, our Heavenly Father, who speaks only kindness, goodness, love, grace, and mercy, unless we need discipline, amen? But even then He speaks love, grace, and mercy to bring us back home. And it's so amazing because from the prodigal son, what do we know? That when he sees us finally turn and starting home, he doesn't wait at the door for us. What's he do? He comes running to meet us. The only time you ever see God run is when you turn. When you turn to him, he'll come to you. You're okay, I'll get you where you are, son. And I'll bring you home. I'll kill the fatted calf. I'll get the robes. I'll get the ring. You won't be a slave in my house. You will be heir to all that is. That's you. That's who he says you are. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are your family and you've told us so. You've told us how much you love us. You show us all the time. May we hear it every day. May we know it every day. And may that strength keep us every day because we need it. We are feeble. We are weak. Lord Jesus, you knew it. You said it to your disciples, but you never forsook them. And you gave them the hope of knowing that you would always be with us. And now you've given us the Holy Spirit to walk with us, be in us, to seal us, and to protect us unto that day. So we give ourselves to you. And Lord, we just give you thanks. For we know you have called us your children. And you have set us in the realms of heaven even now. We thank you and we love you. In the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.